As I mentioned a moment ago, I had a different sermon ready for this morning. I knew that the end of this week was going to be busy. The baby was expected to come on Thursday. It actually came a couple days early, but that just made the busyness last longer. And I knew we were going. We had an activity planned for Friday night, and we were going to the concert last night. So actually, I had two sermons ready on Monday that I was going to preach, one this morning and one tonight. God changed both of them. Thursday night, we had our Senior Saints meeting, and Brother Harry McMahon brought the devotion. He spoke on the subject, come home before dark. Come home before dark. And he related how his parents had given him that instruction many times, Harry, be home before dark, and how he obeyed it most of the time. And then he shared as a parent that he had given that same instruction to his children, his son and four daughters. And he went on to talk about how that instruction applies to folks that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior and how it applies to backslidden Christians. And Lord just kept that going over and over in my mind. And I called Brother Harry last night. I said, Brother Harry, do you mind if I take your subject and some of your points and preach them from my message this morning? Harry was gracious, as he always is, and he said, no, Pastor, I consider that an honor. And so this morning I preach a sermon that Harry entitled, Come Home Before Dark. Come home before dark. It's probably an instruction that we've all heard, and it's probably an instruction that those of us as parents have given at some point to our children, and perhaps as grandparents, we've had the opportunity to give it to our grandchildren. I have three points this morning that I want to make, and I'm going to make them three times each. My first point is that this instruction to come home before dark is usually an instruction that's given by somebody that loves you. It's usually given by a parent or a grandparent or a guardian of some kind. And the instruction, I think, always comes out of a heart of love. We love our children. When they come, and I was talking to Terry about this before the service, we love our children, and when they come, we don't think that we can love anybody any more than we love our children. And then our grandchildren come. And somehow, we end up loving them, I hesitate to say, more than our kids. No, probably not, but we love them. I mean, I know Harry and Marlene welcomed another great-granddaughter down in Birmingham, Alabama there. And little Arnie, you met him this morning. You know, he's only been here 5 days, and I love him with all my heart. I would give everything that I have and my life to express that love and to protect him. And if he's ever left in my charge, I would give him the same instruction, come home before dark. And I do that, and we as parents do that, not because we're trying to spoil our children's fun, not because we're trying to stifle them, but we do that out of love because we as parents know the dangers of the dark. We've been there. We know the danger that comes with a darkness. There's more mischief done at night than there is during the day. More of evil rears up its ugly head in the dark than rears it up during the day. The Bible tells us this truth. In John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about a man casing out a house that he's going to rob in the daytime, but he actually commits the deed at night. In the book of, again, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says, the way of the wicked is at dark, is as darkness. So we know what happens in the dark. And we love our children and our grandchildren, so we tell them, come home before dark. Because, point number three, we're waiting for you there. Usually when a parent says, come home before dark to their children, it's because mom and dad are out at the house waiting for them to come back. And we're worried, and we're concerned, and we're anxious. We want you to be home. And we won't rest completely until you get home. And so we look out the window and we look down the road trying to catch a glimpse of those we've given that instruction to, come home before dark. We try to catch a glimpse of you coming home. Because you see, there's safety at home. There's safety in being home. And we as parents want you as our children, and you as parents want your children and your grandchildren. You want them in the safety of home, and so you tell them, come home before dark. Now I have two applications this morning, just like Harry did on Thursday night. My first is to those that are here this morning that have never asked Jesus to be your Savior. And I don't know how many fall into that category, but I got to believe in a crowd like this, there's several. People that have never come and asked Jesus to save them from the penalty of their sin. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that you are a sinner, as are we all. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible tells us that the penalty for that sin is death. And as we've talked about many, many times, it's not physical death that's the penalty of sin. It's spiritual death. It's being separated from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said, don't eat the fruit, because when you eat the fruit, you will die. Those of us that have read that story and have studied it know that even after Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they lived for a number of years. God didn't immediately, when they took that fruit, whatever it was, and ate it, God did not immediately kill them physically. But they died spiritually. Because the fellowship that they enjoyed in the Garden of Eden was broken. They were cast out of the garden. And the Bible says that God put cherubims at the entry of the garden so that they could not find their way back in. And the fellowship that was so sweet between man and God was broken by their sin. That's the wages of sin. We're all sinners. That's what we deserve. That's for our sin. And it's a very bad thing to be separated from God while we're alive. But it's a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing to be separated from God when we die. Because when we die, there's no more chance to come back to God. When we die, there's no more chance to get right with God. When we die, we go to that place that has been prepared, not for us, but for Satan. We go to that place called hell. And one of the terrible things about hell is the darkness. The darkness. The Bible says that hell is a place of fire, but it's a fire that provides no light. And so hell is a place of total and complete darkness. This morning, let me deliver a message from a heavenly Father who loves you. Come home before dark. Come home before the darkness of hell swallows you for all eternity. Come home before dark, because you see, our God loves us. If we love our children and we love our grandchildren, how much more does God love us? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, the Bible says this, "If ye then," talking about us, "if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children." If you as mankind, being evil, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now let me apply that truth a different way. Let me say it a different way. If ye then, being evil, love your children and love your grandchildren, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, love you? How much more? I mean, if we, as evil human beings, if we love our children and we love our grandchildren, how much more than he that is perfect love us? John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." How much does he love us? He loves us so much that words do not exist to describe it. And so he uses that little word, "so." For God so loved the world. He loves us so much that when we talk about the love of God, all we do is scrape the surface. All we do is get a small glimpse through a glass darkly of how much he loves us. I like what the songwriter wrote when he penned, and I think this was penned on the words of a prison, if I remember the story right. "If we with ink the ocean filled, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." And that heavenly Father that loves us says, "Come home before dark. Come home before dark," because he knows the dangers the darkness holds. You see, God made hell. He didn't make it for us. He made it for Satan. And for those that followed Satan as he rebelled against God up in heaven. But not only did God make the darkness of hell, he experienced it. When Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says that God took every one of my sins and every one of your sins and laid them on his Son. And on Calvary, our Savior paid the price for all of our sins. He suffered our hell for us. I mean, he dipped his soul into hell and he suffered the payment for our sins. And I've talked about it many, many times. As he hung on that cross and he bore the sins of mankind, the Bible says that the sun went dark. And in that darkness, that time of darkness, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me, God? Why did you do that?" And Jesus knew the answer. It was because he bore the sin of every single one of us, paid the price. And so he knows what the darkness of hell is all about, because he suffered it for us. And he doesn't want anybody to go there. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he gives us the instruction, "Come home before dark," because he's waiting there. He's waiting at home for us. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if you believe on me, if you trust me, if you accept me, if you take what I did for you on Calvary, and you ask me, I will save you. And if I save you, I'll come again to get you, so that where I am, And where the Father is, there ye may be also. And if you're here today and you've never done that, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you understand this morning that you are a sinner, like all of us are? There's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is separation from God. Jesus paid our penalty. He paid the price. And if you ask him this morning, he'll save you. He'll save you. Come home before dark, would you? Come home before dark. I make a second application this morning. I make it to all those Christians that may be out of the will of God, that may this morning be walking in disobedience to the Father, who have said, I know more than God. I know how to run my own life. I don't need God. I say to you this morning, come home. Come home. The Father still loves you. You're still his child. You still bear his name. You may have fallen. You may have gotten out of the straight and narrow way. You may, in fact, be walking on that broad way. But God hasn't given up on you. He still loves you. And you see, if you're running your own life as a Christian, you're walking in darkness. The Bible says in 1 John, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. First book of 1 John goes on and lists some of those things that sometimes Christians walk in and describes as darkness. It says, he that hateth his brother is in darkness. He that loveth the world and the things of the world is in darkness. Whosoever sinneth is in darkness. And I say to you this morning, come home. Come home. The Father's waiting for you there. The verses of Scripture that we read together a moment ago come from Luke chapter 15, a very familiar parable, a story that Jesus told. Father had two sons. The youngest came to him and said, Father, I'd like my part of the inheritance. The father grants that request, gives him his inheritance, and the Bible says his youngest son goes to a far country and there wastes his inheritance in riotous living. He was left with nothing. The only job he could get was feeding the swine. And the Bible says when a famine came to the land, he was so hungry that he ate what he was feeding the pigs. We read verses 17 and 18 where the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. Just make me a servant. Just make me a servant. And I continue to read in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Because you see, Daddy was looking. He was looking. And he had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. I remind you this morning, if you're a Christian and you've walked away from God, God hadn't given up on you. He's still looking for you to come to your right mind. He's still looking for you to turn around and come back to Him. And I guarantee you, based on the promises that I read in this book, all you have to do is turn, and He'll meet you. And He'll put that robe back on your back, shoes back on your feet, and a ring back on your finger, and welcome you home once again as a son. And so I say this morning, come home before dark. Come home. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, come home before dark. God loves you. He knows what the darkness of hell holds. He doesn't want any person to suffer that. He's waiting for you to come. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. If you're a Christian, come home. Come home. Ain't no fun in the world. Ain't no peace in the world. Ain't no joy in the world. But there is at home. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the precious, precious promises that are in this book. And I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, help them to see that their sin. Help them to see the penalty for that sin. And Father, most of all, help them to see the price that Jesus paid for each of our sins. Help them to come to Christ this morning. Just to come, just like they are. Just like they are. In their sin. And come to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I understand there's a penalty for that sin. But I believe you paid it for me when you went to Calvary's cross. And right now, this very moment, I'm asking you to save me from that penalty. Make me a child of God. Give me a home in heaven. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. If we are wandering, help us to come home. Come home. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. Help us not to set with hard hearts, but to open up our hearts to you and let you work in our life. And again, help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.